your band is garbage, and we're here to tell you. Two pieces of shit guys lying in our bedrooms. We may be garbage, but we know better than you. Your band is garbage, and we all know that it's true.
What's up, gamers? Welcome back to Your Band is Garbage.
I forgot
podcast,
we say that.
Hosted by myself, Robin, and I've got my good buddy Jacob in the virtual studio today with me. How are you, Jacob?
Robin, thank you so much for asking. The answer to the question that you just asked me is I'm good. So thank you for asking it. And also, how are you?
Well, we had discussed before
I'm glad
podcast.
You're well.
Thank you. We had discussed before the podcast if I should... In layman's terms, do the podcast sober. You know, just like catching up with an old friend, and we'll get to that. But, you know, I was debating whether I wanted to be a little too toasty for this or not. I decided that I was just going to have, you know, just a teensy bit, but... buddy, we're up there, so you might actually have to lead this one.
Well,
we'll see how it goes.
Well, let's see how it goes. And thank you so much for telling us all about that. That's so awesome to hear.
Now, the good news is we are here with a good friend of mine who I've known since, what was it, eighth grade?
Seventh or eighth grade, yeah.
No, it was eighth grade because I moved.
It was eighth grade. Okay,
I moved to our town in eighth grade, the worst year to try and make new friends because you're like,
yeah,
just absolutely the most awkward.
Yeah, everybody's a monster in eighth grade, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah, you were honestly one of the first to take the chance on little nerdy ass Harry Potter glasses ass wearing Robin. Over in the corner. Yeah.
Did you actually have Harry Potter glasses? Can I ask that for real?
They weren't like the complete circle, but they were like the oval version of the Harry Potter glasses. They were bad.
Yeah, man. I was too fat and extra to dislike anybody. I was just like, what's up? We're friends. Hey, how you doing?
That's right.
I was just like the Archie Bunker of eighth grade or some shit. I don't know. Just, hey, how you doing? Not as racist as Archie Bunker, but hey, how you doing? I'm just...
I explicitly remember several, like, years, especially more so in high school, but, like, there were definitely years that I had zero friends in high school. And I remember there would be days that I would go through without talking to anybody. I would specifically remember, like, just not speaking to anybody throughout the day.
Well, now you're talking to a microphone, so you fucking showed them, man.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. And it's going so well already, so.
Extremely well. I'm having a good time. Anyway, I don't think we actually said your name. Hi, this is Tim.
Sorry.
We fucked this up already, so.
Very talkative.
How you doing, friend?
sounds like. Let me tell you, Robin, I'm doing fantastic. Ran out of goddamn cigarettes today. No, it's fine.
No, it's I'm doing all right, man. All things considered, I'm holding in. I'm holding it up there. You know.
Yeah.
I'm holding up there, as one might say. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
We've recorded a few of these during what I guess will be considered at some point in the future as the past of just like quarantine COVID shit. And it's always tough when you have to start and be like, how are you? Because as we've established on several episodes past, it's like, I'm doing fine is like best case scenario right now.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not actively wishing I was dead constantly.
Hell yeah, dude.
Because it's like every day just bleeds into the next day, like some Kafka-ass nightmare, and we all just kind of have to deal with it. And it's like... given the circumstance, yeah, like the best I'm doing is like, yeah.
You know what? I've actually got a spicy topic that is not in the show notes that I thought we might lead into the episode with.
Wow.
Folks, fair warning, this one's going to get a little political. So if you're not into that,
wow,
fuck off. I mean, not really. If you're not into that, just, you know, skip 10 minutes into the future.
They can fuck off.
That's you said that. I said, you know, we'll accept them, but, you know, maybe look down on them.
Yeah. Oh, no, not political. That's not, like, my podcast or anything. Yeah.
Right, right. So, we had a pretty important event in America 2 days ago. How did that make you feel relative to how you felt before that?
Well, you know, it was really... we never thought we'd see the band The New Radicals unite in our lifetime, reunite, just to perform for, you know, 4 whole minutes. But, like, you know, that's 4 minutes that, like, you know, Zoomers have never seen this. Oh, you mean the inauguration?
You're talking about the...
Oh, okay. No, I was talking about the New Radicals reunion.
I mean, that was part of it, so.
I don't give a shit, man. America's a late empire shithole.
Yeah, it's a failed state.
Banana Republic failed state. That's And honestly, the fact that Joe Biden, the one thing everybody says about him is like, oh, he's so empathetic. He's so good with loss. He's so good at funerals. The fact that, like, we have a eulogizer in chief in charge in, like, the late dog days of empire is just fucking
truly the death rattle of a nation, if I've ever seen it.
Listen here, Fat. If we're gonna run this empire, we're gonna run it like Fred Flintstone runs his corn pop.
Corn pop was a bad dude.
Corn pop was a bad dude.
The leg hairs. Getting the leg hairs down.
Victory.
Standing up.
So, I think we're all roughly in the same boat here.
One where we all went and voted for Biden and then now just never want to give a fuck about politics
now,
ever
again.
To be fair,
I did go and I voted for Biden under the assumption that I would be allowed to make fun of him for the next 4 years. And I plan to take full advantage of that. That was a condition of me doing it.
Everybody said if you can't vote, you can't complain. So I did vote.
Yeah.
So now I'm allowed to do nothing but complain for the next 4 years.
Yeah, get ready.
Right. And I'm so fucking excited about it.
This is what you asked for.
Yeah,
that's right.
I did it. I flipped the lever, baby. I mean, I filled out a piece of paper, but, you know.
I flipped several levers. I made several ballot box dumps. I was, you know, I was hacking the Dominion machines. I'm the guy that did that.
What if a dude like walked into a polling place and he was like, he thought he was flipping a lever, but he was just like violently tripping and was actually just jacking off in the middle of the polling place?
Jesus.
I just thought
it was like an old timey place with like a lever and he was just like, ah, well, I vote for the Democrat or the Republican. And it was just like, it's just his penis. Like, imagine that.
He gets off on just voting. He can only come one every, like, what, 2 years, I guess? Not four, but, like, two.
Yeah, dude, that's going to be fucking clean up in aisle 13, you know what I'm saying? Fucking clean up in aisle 1776. Fucking democracy, baby.
Well, my polling place is a public library, so they have to deal with cum on the floor a lot of the time anyway.
Jesus.
Like
so, anyway.
Library.
We are primarily no. We'll get back to this.
We'll get back to this very important cum related discussion.
We are technically a music podcast.
Hell yes.
I think it would be as fair to say that you are a co-host of a communist Eagle Scout podcast.
It would be fair
as
to
much
say
as
that.
You are a musician.
Yeah. Well, I did the musician thing since high school on and off. My most recent bout, I was in this band called Lipstick Fiction for about 4.5 years, and that was cool. And then
you guys were pretty into the like Cincy DIY kind of scene down here, right?
Yeah, we were. We kind of started out in like the DIY scene as like a punk band, and then we kind of got into like the kind of the North Side bar scene, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Kind of built up our fan base through that, and. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, honestly. I had a really good time being in that band. And I got an award for being in that band. So
did you really?
You got an award?
Yeah, I won a Cincinnati Entertainment Award, yeah.
Damn, is that on the LinkedIn?
Is that on the LinkedIn? Yeah, maybe.
That's right under, that's like the first header for me.
CEA winning musician would like to be an admin
would like to connect
would
to
like
you.
To be a secretary at your company. I know how to rock, I know how to roll, and I'm proficient in Excel, baby.
Hey, I stopped winning awards after high school, so...
yeah, that one was not expected. No, we all went and not all of us, but like I definitely got a little drunk before the ceremony because I just like I figured I was going to be sitting there for 3 hours watching my friends perform and win awards, and I like you know, everybody's like, I didn't expect to win, but like we were up against bands that were like objectively more popular than we were,
right?
So like I really didn't expect to win, so I figured I would just go have a few drinks and then sit there and hang out. So like you watch the video and I'm just like, whoa, man,
that's so cool.
Whoa,
that's the sickest shit of all time.
I'm the double rainbow guy just standing up there just like, whoa.
Just like losing
Yankee
his fucking mind
with no brim.
So with any of your bands, did you have like, because I know you did a lot of stuff kind of early on. I remember seeing you play a show in eighth grade.
Yeah. No, I was in bands. I was in bands all through like junior high and high school with my friends. And then me and my buddy Eric, who ended up being a pretty popular musician down in Texas for a while, pretty popular, like hired gun on the guitar. Me and him and his brother were in a band for a long time. Did the blues thing. And it was fun, and that was kind of my foot in the door into music. And then I kind of didn't do it in college really, cause I was busy doing other shit. And then after college, when I was bored, I got back into it.
My first real foray into live music was, that Xenia Battle of the Bands.
Oh, hell yes, dude.
Cause
those
like
were so much fun.
I had been to two shows before that. I went to Rock on the Range and sat in the stadium seats to see Disturbed with my dad.
Yes.
Pretty sure you were there too.
Ooh,
yes,
dude.
You had field tickets, and you and someone else were trying to sneak me.
Oh yeah. You know, that was actually awesome. That was, I won't say his name, but I was there with a good friend of mine who's a lawyer now. And, I was there with him and his uncle, and they kept sneaking his uncle's buddies onto the floor by being like, oh, shit, here, because he had one floor ticket, like, you know, his ticket, and he would just give it to his buddies, and they'd walk up to people and be like, I have a ticket for the floor, but I don't have a wristband, and they'd be like, oh, sorry, sir, and just give these people, like, they wouldn't, like, check his ID to make sure it was really him or any of that shit. So, like,
damn.
Yeah, he got three of his buddies onto the floor doing that, which would have rocked. Like, we should have done it, dude. We should have just gone for glory.
We should have, but that was, I mean, that was my first concert besides,
yeah,
like,
you were, how old
besides
were you,
like seeing 16? Styx at the park for the 4th of July. Like,
yeah.
I was like,
that was
14,
hey,
15 maybe.
I remember when Styx played at the park, man. That was pretty
fucking
awesome.
Rocked, dude.
Styx played at your park?
Yeah. Yeah, in Mason. He played at the big park in Mason.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, it rocked, man. It was, you know, they did all the classics. They Come Sail Away and, you know, Lady.
And that was shit that my dad had all the time. Like, we were always
lady,
listening to Styx.
Robin is my lady. Yeah.
That's right. And then I saw, after that I went to one death metal show, and then I started going
cool.
to your shows, and that was...
Those were so fun. You know, that venue was kind of great, actually, for, like, what it was. Just
it was
being
in the basement
like
of a coffee shop.
Coffee shop in Xenia, and they had, like, a nice little, like, setup for, like, it didn't sound, like, the worst. Like, I've played in way shittier sounding bars than that place. And, like, yeah, it was actually, like... Really trying to be like a youth oriented thing. But you know, I'll tell you, I got a funny story about that. So
yeah.
when Lipstick Fiction was playing out of town, we were in Blacksburg, Virginia, playing at a house venue near Virginia Tech. And then two nights later we had a show in New Jersey. So we were like, fuck it, we will play pretty much anywhere between Blacksburg, Virginia and New Jersey on that Saturday night. So I'm just like, I'm emailing fucking places in Philly and Baltimore,
yeah.
DIY venues and bars and up and down the Delaware coast and whatever. And what I eventually come across is this coffee shop. Well, I think it's a coffee shop on the campus of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia. And they're like, yeah, we'll put a show together for you. It's welcome weekend. This would be awesome. It's cool that like this award-winning band wants to come play on our campus.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so we get there, and they call it a coffee shop because, like, it used to be back in, like, the 80s or whatever, but it's literally just, like, this DIY group that has this, like, old, old house on William & Mary's campus that they do shows in, and they're all dry, like, no drugs, no alcohol. It's so they're all ages, and it's this, like, hot, not climate-controlled at all fucking punk house on their campus, right? And their fucking mantra is till the floor caves in, which, like, it might at some point.
Have you... I don't know if you've ever been here, but in Columbus we have a venue in the basement of a Donato's Pizza, and it fucking...
Oh, that sounds awesome.
I love it.
That sounds so dope. Oh, man, after the pandemic's over, man, I'm all about... driving one of the I'm gonna end up in a couple bands here pretty soon again, I think, and I'm excited to get my ass back out on the road, man. That shit's so fun.
Hell yeah. I wish I had any musical talent whatsoever, but here we are. I'm doing a podcast about it instead.
Perfect. That's right.
No, that's the best. Those who can't do podcasts, that's the old saying.
What's that scene in School of Rock where Jack Black is like pretending to be a teacher and he's like, those that can't do teach, those that can't play music talk about music, and those that can't talk about music with real human friends just do a podcast
over Discord. Hell yeah,
that's right, the good way to do it.
So you've done at least a little bit of touring.
Yeah, a very small amount, but it was fun.
How does like the Cincinnati scene compare to any of the other places that you've been, even if it's just, you know, a couple shows?
There's
and
some
a couple
really
bars,
really but... solid. I think there are some really great places in Cincinnati, honestly. I think there are some good folks. I mean, I think, you know, like anything, it's a city. There are some good and bad and, you know, it's whatever. But I think by and large, like, what's really nice about Cincinnati is there are definitely, like, places that if you're just, like, a DIY band in a van just trying to play, like, somebody will help you find a show somewhere on some night. And, like, you will make some amount of money. Somebody will hopefully put you up. Like, I have found that, like... bands that come through here like coming through here, like DIY bands especially, and like they continue to come through here.
Yeah. I remember specifically, I think you were with me, Robin. Were you not with me for this conversation when we were at Sad Summer last year, talking to Eric from Mom Jeans for a while?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They were just talking about like how everyone in that little clique or whatever like likes coming through Ohio because it's just fun and people seem to enjoy it. And like, that's dope as hell.
For sure.
Please come here because you want to play here. That's so sick.
Straight up, like, I've been other places in Ohio and had a really great time. Like, we played, you know, with that band, like, we played in Dayton, had a great time. Played in Columbus, had a great time. We played in Cleveland, had a great time, you know. And then, like, even around, like, there are definitely great musicians, like, in the surrounding areas. Like, you know, Detroit, Indianapolis, Lexington, Louisville. Like, we're so close to so many great music towns.
Damn, Ohio is such a cool place to, like, have live music, and there are so many cool scenes around here. Like, it doesn't even have to be a major city in Ohio to have a pretty fucking good music scene. Look at Bowling Green. Like,
yeah,
it's unreal that there is so much that people put into this stuff, and it's kind of just all at a standstill, and I cannot wait until it's over.
Oh, I know. I need it bad so bad.
Damn. I didn't realize how bad I needed it, but god damn,
My entire mental health was banking on, like... you know, every week or so, like, you know, heading somewhere for a show. So
we're doing great.
We're doing really good, guys.
We're going to, I know, we had that show set up and everything, Robin, right before COVID hit.
We had Tavern.
I was starting to book shows.
Damn, were you going to be at that show? I was going to be at that show.
Yeah, I booked that show.
Hell yeah.
I helped book that show. Yeah, you know, my buddy Daisy books for, He was booking for Northside Tavern, among other places, and he called me up and was like, "Do you have an interest in booking shows, like, in January?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he threw that show my way, and that was like, you know, yeah, that was we put Robin's band on that, you know, on that show because like that it matched with the vibe so well, and then it never fucking happened, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but one of the other bands that was booked on that was Guilt, and they actually did a podcast episode.
No, that was
us.
Exactly it. Guilt was coming up through Florida.
Yeah.
And Daisy called me and said, my buddy's Guilt are coming through, find two bands to go on the bill. And Pout was on that bill, too, which is another great local Cincinnati
band. God damn, that show was a banger.
Fucking banger, man.
I know.
I threw one really decent banger before COVID shut everything down. It was Halloween. We had Abertooth Lincoln from Dayton.
Hell yeah.
We had Ficus from Cincinnati. We had some other really good bands. It was very dope. It was a very good show. Had a lot of fun.
All right. What would you say is your absolute favorite venue that you've played in town?
My favorite venue in Cincinnati.
I guess, you know, if you don't want to narrow it down, like maybe like top three.
Oh man. Okay. So if we're going in town, I could do like a top three in town and then like maybe some top ones elsewhere that are really good, especially like in Ohio and stuff.
Yeah. Whatever runs the clock.
So yeah. Hell yeah. So here in Cincinnati, I can't recommend Urban Artifact enough. You know, they're a great brewery. Their sours and all, they make their, you know, they specialize in sours, which are really delicious, but also like they pay really well. They're really good to their bands. The room sounds amazing. You're going to have a professional sound guy there who's making everything sound good. It's a really solid venue. I would say that's probably the best place you can play in town. Additionally, if you're looking for something a little bit more DIY, I recommend the Comet in Northside. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have been there. Have you guys been there?
No,
I actually haven't.
You have not been to the... All right, so it's pretty much... The whole place is, like, it's pretty small, but it is, like, it's just a long time, like, since the 90s, like, rock venue in Northside. And it's great for touring bands, because if you go through there, like, they feed you, they liquor you up a little bit, they pay you pretty well, and, like, there's usually a really solid crowd there, like, because it's not a huge place, you know. It fills up pretty quick. Trying to think other places. The Northside Tavern, of course, is great. Trying to think of other like really awesome venues. It's been a while since I've been out and about playing. Motor down in OTR is great. If you've down on Main Street there, also the Hub, which is a bicycle repair shop / bar / venue.
Hell yeah!
On Main Street,
Jacob,
over the Rhine.
You're writing these down, right? Because I'm pretty sure you are the de facto manager of my band. So just keep taking notes.
Oh yeah, no. Honestly, any of those places would be a kick ass place for y'all to play. Like they would. There's definitely like you could get a crowd out to any of those places with like your guys' style. I think.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Absolutely. The only one of those that I distinctly remember having gone to. It's possible that maybe I like. Very blackout drunkenly have been to one of those places before, but
yeah,
I remember specifically going to Northside Tavern and being like super impressed by it. That place is super nice.
It's a great venue. Yeah, it's a beautiful, just like old, one of those old narrow taverns there for a million years.
Did you ever come up to Double Happiness when they were still doing shows in Columbus?
No, I never went to Double Happiness.
God damn, it was so cool.
I saw a hardcore band there and got kicked in the chest by some dude like spin kicking. Like it was the same guy like seven times. And I was just like, all right, I guess I'm sitting here.
God, that reminds me of like, so there's this festival every year. Do you guys know about the Northside Yacht Club in Northside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's another, you know, it's a venue. So the great thing. So every year in December, there's this big festival at Yacht Club called Santa Mania, and like they use the main room, they use this like upstairs room that also has a stage, they use the green room they have for bands and like set up a stage in there, and they set up a stage outside in fucking December, and they do like a 4-stage festival in this like 1 2-story bar. And damn. One year I saw this hardcore band play there called Flesh Mother, and like literally they broke the fucking crowd broke glass tables. Like somebody got pushed into the fucking fire, and the fucking guitar player had this long cord. He climbed the stairs on the outside of the venue and stood on like the roof of the outdoor bar. It was like probably one of the craziest fucking shows I've ever seen. They had a boat that you could sit in. So I was like, yeah, they just, like, had a boat that was, like, seating out there, and I was, like, standing in the boat watching this entire fucking wave of people. I felt like fucking Captain... Sweet. I felt like Captain Ahab, dude. It was awesome.
I am not a huge fan of, like, extremely heavy, like, black metal. That is a little bit too much for me. But I have been to one black metal show, and I can never remember the name of the band, but... I went with a buddy, and he just, like, had an extra ticket and was didn't want to go alone and was like so desperate to have somebody go. Just like, hey, I don't want to drive to Cleveland alone for the show. Like, that sketches me out. I won't charge you for the ticket. Like, I'll buy you food, whatever. Like, just come with. So, fuck it, whatever. Like, I'm going to go to a show for free, of course. Like, I don't care what it is. Like, if the opportunity is in front of me, the answer is yes.
And a road trip, hell yeah.
I, like, you know, didn't know what to expect. Who knows? You know, maybe I get there and maybe I really like it. Like, who knows? Maybe it's sick. Maybe you have to see it live to understand. So, I'm, like, kind of getting soaked for this and, like, sort of, like, trying to get into the zone a little bit. And I just remember getting there and realizing, like, truly the kind of environment that I was going to be in. First of all, the amount of face paint at that show, I was not prepared for how many people were going to be coming in face paint. I would say it's most of them were in face paint. I don't know what you call that, like the whatever the fucking Norwegian like black metal face paint is.
Yeah, but, like that grease paint. I know what you're talking
about. Whatever, like, yeah, whatever. Looking like the guy from Guitar Hero.
Yeah, looking like Kiss got edgy, dude.
Yeah, and then I remember the show starting and the lights going down and like. I think the thing that finally made me I didn't go in the pit at all. Like, not even on the floor. I don't even want any part of it. It was up the Agora, so like there was plenty of room. Like I'm out. I don't want to be anywhere near. I will watch from the back with a beer. I remember I knew I needed to leave when someone set like just a fire on the floor. Someone just had a fire in the pit. Like they were like spewing blood everywhere. They were like it was fucked. I've never seen anything like that.
Dude, what if like the whole time the guy was just up there on stage like commit arson, and then somebody lit a fire and he was like culpable and he's like, what? Just because the song's called Commit Arson doesn't mean we wanted people to light fucking fire. Commit
Your
arson.
Honor,
commit
the
arson.
Song is simply titled "I Love Murder." It doesn't necessarily mean that I love to do murder, but that's some fucked shit. I like I've been to some weird shows in my time, but like I've never in a like truly embodied the I'm in danger. Like I'm in danger right now. The little fucking Ralphie quote.
I'm in danger.
Well, I think we've covered a lot so far, Jacob. I think it might be about time for a little break. To hear from our sponsor. You did prepare a sponsor for this episode, right?
Yeah, I absolutely prepared a sponsor. I worked on it and I wrote it and it's ready to go right now. So we will just go ahead and do that right now. This week's episode of Your Band is Garbage is sponsored by... no, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine that? That would be so sick. No, this is actually just Jacob. I was just sort of stopping by, just kind of seeing how you were. We're sort of in the middle-ish part of the episode, so... thanks for hanging with us. Really, honestly, I'll be honest with you. The reason that I popped in, I wanted to just remind you, if you didn't already know, that you can follow the podcast on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at YBIG Podcast. We're always, you know, we're doing shit over there. We're posting on it all the time. Some of them are good. But we're always posting on it, so... feel free to follow us over there, YBIG Podcast, and also feel free to write into the show if you have a comment, a criticism, I guess just like ad solicitations we get sometimes too, so that'll work, I guess. But yeah, thanks for listening, and back to the show. I think they should bring back the Real Men of Genius radio ads. I forgot about those.
Man of Genius. Yeah, they should. You know what? We're bringing everything else back from that era right now. Fucking might as well.
That would be funny as fuck.
It's the perfect era of nostalgia for it. Absolutely.
It's so good.
I love that it used to be called fucking Real American Heroes, and then 9/11 happened. They had to change the name.
Holy shit! Is that why they changed it?
That's why they changed it. 9/11.
That sounds like that. You guys know about that band, The Coup?
No.
Okay, so they're like a. You guys know who Boots Riley is, the rapper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's his band, The Coup.
Okay.
Oh,
it's the band that he's like fronted for like 20 some years. Their album they had an album like early on called Party Music, and I swear to God, it was set to be released on September 11th, 2001, and the original cover for it was Boots Riley and his DJ pushing a button and blowing the fucking World Trade Center up.
I've heard about that. Didn't their label try to get them to change it? Like, they made them, right?
They had to change it, yeah. So they changed it to, like, a martini that was on fire, like a Molotov cocktail. But, like, I swear to God, they were going to release a fucking album on 9/11. Or, like, the week after 9/11 that had just him, like, blowing the fucking World Trade Center up on it.
Wild.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
He didn't want to fucking change it. I think that rocks, too. He didn't want to change it.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with 9/11.
He was like, no, my political message about worldwide capital and how it's fucking destroying the third world is still valid.
That's
and everybody
right.
was like, Boots, what the fuck, dude? Like, no. Dudes rock, man.
Dudes
fucking rock, man.
Oh, man. God damn it. Jacob, when am I going to see you? When can I give you your Christmas present?
Probably. I mean, it's going to happen
big,
soon at some point.
Is it a big smooch?
Yeah. Well, I better. Well, that's for later.
Remind me after the show. I want to show you your Christmas present.
No, what the fuck?
I want you to see it. It's funny.
Oh, it's his wiener.
Oh, wait. Okay. Yours is funny, too, but I'm not showing it to you yet.
Fine.
Motherfucker.
Anyway.
It's all wrapped up. What do you mean? I bought wrapping paper for it. What do you want? I'm going to show it to you on a webcam? Out of your fucking mind.
All right. Fine.
Nonsense.
Anyway. So let's talk about this. We brought up the Commie Eagle Scout podcast.
Oh, my podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, we brought that up earlier, but I don't think we've given enough gravity to the statement Commie Eagle Scout podcast.
Yeah.
Can you get into that a little bit?
I guess I could. Yeah, so like I'm an Eagle Scout. I became one when I was 17 years old. I worked for the Boy Scouts for a number of years when I was a teenager. And
you ran the summer camp that I went to.
I was, yeah, well, I didn't run the summer camp, but I was at the summer camp.
Yeah, you were a guy at the summer camp.
Yeah, I was.
I would have taken a class from you.
Yeah,
I
was a guy there.
Quit the Scouts.
I was definitely a guy at that camp. Like, that I can't deny because there's photographic evidence.
That is true.
Yeah, no, but I did. I worked there for 5 years, and I was the all-American kid in that sense, I guess, and I really was told that, like, I'm a fine young man because I'm an Eagle Scout and I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to achieve the American dream, baby.
That's right.
And me and some of my fellow Eagles from my troop, my buddies like Jack, my buddies and my co-host Jack and John, got out into the world and realized that, oh, shit, we live in a late capitalist failing empire state. And it's pretty much hell for all of us in different ways. And we're all kind of struggling to get by, but, you know, surviving. And we all became leftists as a result and anti-capitalists as a result. And we decided to name our podcast after our old patrol that we were all in together back in the day, which was the Wolverine Patrol.
That is so fucking cool and such a better little, what's the fucking word I'm looking for? God damn it. I fumbled it now. I fumbled it completely.
Good fucking job, Jacob.
God damn it.
I still believe in you, Jacob. You can recover. It's going to be okay.
It is such a good gimmick for your guys' show. Like, not a gimmick as in, like, it's a joke, but, like, that's such a good little, like, branding thing. I'm so jealous of that.
That's a concept.
Ours is a fucking trash can. That's as hard as I went on it. That was maximum effort for me.
Hell yeah. No, it's just it's been we're actually kind of in flux right now between the pandemic and you know, everybody having to figure out their own. So our producer's moving to New York in like a week, so we've got to figure out how we're going to record on our own and get these episodes up to the people without our producer.
Mm.
But we will.
Always,
we will
have
figure
you always
it
considered
out.
Just recording a Discord call, because that seems to work for us.
That seems like the thing to do, honestly.
It seems like the thing to do. Yeah, there's that. I will say that I listened to I did listen to an episode. I wanted to get a little familiar before we had you on.
Oh, you did?
And I did. I listened to, man, I forget the title, but it was the one Robin had recommended. Congratulations on Nothing, I believe, is the one I listened to.
Congratulations on Nothing?
What? First of all, you guys are so fucking smart.
Oh, stop.
It I immediately texted Robin and was like, I have to read a book before the podcast tonight. Because I started thinking about it, and I don't think I've read a book in a really long time. And there were like 3 or 4 solid book recommendations on that episode alone. So,
oh yeah, see, I'm not the one who reads all those books. That's mostly Jack.
Yeah,
but no, still, I knew how to surround myself with nerds who were smarter than I was.
Yeah, that's kind of the way to do it. I try to surround myself with people that play music better than I can and make better jokes than I can. And I just kind of, I'm like riding that wave all the way.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Absolutely.
Well, I can barely write music better than you, and my jokes are not as funny as yours. So, don't know.
Damn.
Am I on the chopping block? Or
you should hear all the shit that I have to cut off of this stupid motherfucker as I'm editing it, because I'm just being stupid the entire time.
Jesus. I feel it, man. No, that's... It'd be like that sometimes. But, no, it's a pretty fun podcast. I'm looking forward to getting back to it.
Yeah, we definitely took like a little bit of a break for the holidays, and also just like generally being depressed all the time. It's like tough to keep up on stuff like that. So
yeah, especially you know, in the middle of late capitalist hell world.
That's right. It's like the C thing that I'm doing on any given day.
I feel like we were approaching like late capitalism, and I felt it coming, and just like the pandemic just accelerated us. So much further into that. Like, we realized how little anyone at the top gives a shit about, you know, any of us.
They gave us $1,700 over a year and told us to go fuck ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
As millions of people applied for unemployment.
And the good thing is that nothing will fundamentally change as a result of that. So
thank God.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Joe. Nothing will fundamentally change, Biden.
Good old sleepy Joe Biden.
Good old OG Kush Joe.
Tim, you're like local Cincinnati folks.
Yeah.
Did you hang out at Kings Island at all, like growing up?
Some.
Okay. You're familiar.
By the time I got older and everybody was working there, I was working at camp in the summer, so.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah. But, like, you've ridden roller coasters.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Like, to Robin's point about, like, I feel like we were approaching it for a while, and it's like when you're in the back seat of the roller coaster and you're going over the hill.
It kind of pulls you over.
You think you have so much more time before you get fucking catapulted over that hill, and... You are surprised every time with how wrong you are.
That is frequently the case, yes. And, I think that it was pretty rude of the pandemic to go and prove everything leftists have been saying for the last several decades right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at least we've been able to, like, I mean, like, not to get, down to the fucking trenches about it, but, like, at least we've been able to primary some shitty establishment Democrats. As a result.
Yeah, and I guess it, compared to the people they were running against, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
But the question becomes, can we pressure those people and make them actually do anything? And the answer is, well, no, because we don't have the leverage to do it yet.
And the answer becoming no.
Yeah, the answer is we've got to organize the left in some way where they're afraid to fuck with us at the very least, right. You know?
Yeah, I do definitely respect that aspect of it. And I think you guys touched on it near the end of the episode that I listened to, which honestly, in hindsight, with what's gone on in the Capitol recently, you kind of goes without saying that you guys were right at the end of that episode. I don't know how much you remember from doing that episode or if you've listened to it at all recently, but it's like there's a good extended bit at the end where it's like, oh, the right is extremely scary and continues to get bigger and scarier, and we really need to be careful about this, or something violent is going to happen, and we need to be ready.
Oh, fuck, did we predict the Capitol Hill uprising?
All this morning, I was like, damn. Like, damn. Uh-oh. So, it, like,
wow,
I'm
who
not
could
a
have
person
seen,
who...
Who could have seen something like that coming?
I'm not a person who generally has been into, like, arming themselves and trying to become a more organized force, but
sure.
I don't know. As a result of this, it seems clearer and clearer that is the only way that anything is going to change, so...
Yeah, you've definitely got to be, in some sphere, you've got to be a force to be reckoned with, whether that's, you know, materially, you've got to, the establishment needs to be afraid of what you'll do if they don't capitulate to some of your demands.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that at the end of the day, talk shit on the right wing all you want, they were pissed off, They didn't show up in Georgia. They withheld their votes, and they were willing to let the Republicans lose because they were mad. We need to be willing to do that so the Democrats do what we want.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, like, at the end of the day, it becomes a question of, like, how much can you really expect the Democratic Party to change? And it becomes a question of building parallel structures and organizing outside of electoral politics, I think.
Yeah.
And that's really it. At the end of the day, there's a reason we respect Martin Luther King. He never ran for office, but what he did was found really effective ways to mobilize a lot of people and bully the people in power into doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Bully your senators, people.
Yeah. I got banned from Twitter for bullying my senator.
That rocks.
Yeah.
Respect that.
What exactly did you say?
I told Rob Portman to fall off a boat, and I got banned. So.
That rocks.
Got
dude.
Fucking clapped for that. Been on
hell
this
yeah.
Stupid.
Can I get and a dude's rock real quick?
And it took Trump how long to get banned from Twitter?
You were just like, fall off a boat. He's been sitting there for like yeah. years, like, Rosie O'Donnell's a fat, ugly piece of shit. And also, I'm going to murder everyone who disagrees with me. And they were like, well, he is the president. And we do have to respect the norms of the office.
Oh, the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. God damn, still stupid.
Just thinking back to the time in my life when I would have seen, like, the tweets that Joe Biden is sending out, but, like, you know, like, 2010,
yeah.
like, Obama sending out, like, those real, like, polished, you know,
oh, yeah.
establishment Democrat kind of tweets, and, like, when I used to, like, be like, yeah, you're right, Obama.
Yeah.
Like, good on you. And now just seeing Joe Biden saying the same shit and being like,
yeah,
fuck you. You're such a fucking phony.
Yeah. Well, Johnny said it, I think, best in the group chat this morning, Robin. He was like, politics is boring again. I don't give a fuck. Like, it's like I turn on the TV and see just like Joe Biden's doing nothing versus like our president's denying COVID exists. Like, that's undeniably at least more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem is people are going to stop giving a shit because their lives aren't going to get better. He's said on several occasions he doesn't fundamentally plan to change anything.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't know about you guys, but like this was a nice stopgap in fascism, but I welcome President My Pillow Guy in 2024. Vice President John Taffer and perhaps Ohio Governor Jeff Ruby. God
damn, I would lose my fucking mind if John Taffer was involved.
John, President, President, it's President disgusting. Mike Lindell and Vice President John Taffer.
Clean it up.
Is Ben Shapiro going to be the Secretary of Transportation?
He's going to be the Secretary of being a little bitch, is what he's going to be.
Do you think he's the right wing equivalent of Pete? Is that why you said that?
Yeah.
I guess he probably is. I don't have a better.
He totally is.
I don't have a better. I think it's a pretty apt comparison, Robin.
One didn't run for office, but they're both the same. Like. Yep. Weaselly little fucks.
Yep.
Both of them have an aversion to pussy.
Oh. Jesus.
Oh shit.
Anyway, we've established that we're all kind of disillusioned, but I'm curious because we talked a little bit about the. You know, the American dream that was promised to you,
hilarious. You
know, during your time as a scout.
That's so funny to think about.
That you know, that's
so
was,
dumb, dude.
That was going to pull you ahead and, you know, show off or, you know, be a good mark on your college applications and, you know, all that fun capitalist stuff. So when did you become disillusioned? Like, what was it that, like, really knocked you on your ass?
I started becoming disillusioned shortly after the second Obama term started. I had years. I wanted to be. Here's the thing. I was always kind of a smart ass. So when people would be calling Obama socialism, I started researching kind of what socialism actually was and like the Socialist Party and like all these things. And I was like, oh, that actually sounds pretty good. I'm going to do. And I started doing research on it. And I started realizing that like not only did like I agree with socialism, but that like. Not only was Obama not a socialist, he was like a right-wing capitalist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I was kind of like, okay, oh, he renewed the Bush tax cuts. Okay. Oh, the spying and the torturing continue. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just slowly realized that, like, oh, no, we're the bad guys, and America's the empire, and this is just another manager of that, and the fact that he happens to be an African-American man does not make the empire any less the empire. And that, oh, no, we need to actually focus on politics that are more progressive and further to the left than what the establishment is giving us. Mm-hmm. And I
feel like part of the disappointment with Obama is that that was kind of the dream that we were promised. It was like,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know, universal health care.
Yeah, which
got
he
whittled
immediately
down to
fucking buckled on.
Yeah.
As soon as Joe Lieberman and all the fuckhead right-wing Democrats were like, no, no public option. Like, that was the end of it.
Yep.
And Biden will do this. Biden will do the same fucking shit, you know? Now, instead of, oh, you can't have nice things because the Republicans say no, it's going to be, oh, sorry, the Blue Dog Democrat. Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema don't want you to have it, so sorry. Yep. Oh, no. John Ossoff, the guy who just won in Georgia, opposes the Green New Deal and Medicare for, oh, yeah. No, he's going to vote against it. Sorry.
The guy who we all just had to pretend to care about for, like, 3 months. Yeah. About his
won't even do the most
election.
Basic fucking thing and guarantee us healthcare.
What a piece of shit that guy is.
Yeah, dude. He really jacked us off.
Yeah. Like a cock. Like
I can't take
cock.
Credit
like
for
a big cock.
I can't take credit for that joke, but
no.
It's a good one.
No. Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie.
I got it on Twitter, but it's pretty good. Listen here, son. I knew Jack Ossoff. I've seen Jack Ossoff. I've jacked us off. You, sir, will not jack us off.
God damn.
That's what I'm going to say to all the Republicans in the future when I'm a grizzled old man.
Hell yeah. I can't wait to be a grizzled old man. I'm going to be fucking so mean.
What was that guy's fucking name? I can't remember. It was the... God, I'm such a fucking nerd. It was like the... It was the vice presidential debate in like 1988 when like... Do you guys remember Dan Quayle?
Yep.
George H.W. Bush's vice president.
Yep.
No.
He was like super fucking young and blonde and just the biggest fucking dipshit in the world. And at one point.
What was the word that he like couldn't spell in front of like fucking third graders?
Oh, I can't remember. That rocks though. That's about right.
Hell yeah.
But he mentioned to the fucking old guy who was running with Michael Dukakis that like, you know, I'm older than Jack Kennedy was or whatever. Like, I'm about the same age as Jack Kennedy was. And the guy was like, I knew Jack Kennedy. I worked with Jack Kennedy. You, sir, are no Jack Kennedy. And everyone was like, oh, my God. Like, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
The word was potato.
Oh, he couldn't spell potato?
Potato.
He oh, that
spelled
rocks.
It like toe.
No, that's T-O-E. Way before my conscious memory begins.
That's so cool.
I mean, I wasn't alive.
I'm so shocked that guy didn't have a successful career becoming president after he was vice president.
Was he just like a himbo or something?
Kind of. Yeah, sort
of. That rules. We need more himbos.
Yeah, Dan Quayle was like the original himbo vice president who just could never be president.
We need more leftist himbos. We have Hassan, but I don't know who else.
We need more leftist himbos. More leftist himbos!
More leftist himbos. More of them.
Dan Quayle the himbo. Damn, dude. I wonder if he's still... He's got to be old as hell now. I wonder if he's on Twitter. I'm just going to tweet at him and be like, thank you for being our first himbo VP. Sorry nobody's sorry nobody's appreciating that right now.
Yeah, nobody's mentioning Dan Quayle enough in these trying times.
You know what? No, you know what was actually the best thing Dan Quayle ever said? He said the Simpsons were the most dangerous family in America.
That's true. Have you played
Simpsons Hit and Run?
Simpsons Hit and Run? Dangerous.
Oh, man.
It's about, like, crashing into stuff and things. So.
I remember sitting in your basement and playing GTA in, like, 10th
hell
grade.
Hell yes, dude. That's about right.
Damn, that rocks. Yeah. That's another dude's rock moment.
No, that must have been... It might have been, like, 11th or 12th grade, because it would have been, like, after 4 came out, and it was on the Xbox.
Yeah, you're right. But I used to just, like, dude's I would rock. Do something bad, and then just attract as many cops as I could, and you had all the cheat codes.
Yep.
So I just give myself,
cops,
like,
yes, sir.
infinite rocket launchers while the cops and the SWAT team are coming by and just, like, blowing shit up.
No, the funnier one is when you can just cancel all your stars. So, like, 10 cop cars show up, and then you just cancel all your stars, and they're all just like, oh, okay. And they just, like, leave. Shit rocks, dude. That's how it is in real life when you're a capitalist.
That's true.
Damn.
It's a lot like GTA. Kinda
yeah,
cool.
being a capitalist is a lot like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, and Call of Duty is a lot like the military.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. That's
basically the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can all agree on that.
Yep, that's correct. Now I'm going to go get into my Dodge Charger and go to the store.
Then I'm going to come home and kiss my dad on the lips.
And punch my wife.
Oh, no. Jesus.
I saw a great TikTok the other day. I know TikTok is controversial.
I've never heard a good sentence start like that.
I'm ready for it.
But it was about a girl who always swipes left when she sees a guy's in the military because she doesn't have time to get married this weekend.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
I don't have the credit, but it wasn't my joke. And if you have TikTok, go find it.
Did I send you that TikTok of that guy like, Alexa, fart for me? Send you this?
I don't think so.
Holy fucking shit. Can I put it in the chat real quick?
Yeah, please do.
It's really, really fucking important.
I'd love to play it on the show, actually.
This is really fucking important. Hold on. Hold up.
Jacob, vamp for a second.
Don't tell me what to do.
There we go. I don't know. Shit.
Facebook.com/twohomieskissing.
Two homies kissing.
Okay. Damn.
Dude, I fucking lost out of this.
Alexa. Please fart.
What
the fuck?
No, I want a big... I want a big...
Why is he whispering to it?
Damn. That's...
Oh, God, it's so good. Hold on. I have to listen to it one more time. It's so important. Holy shit.
Anyway, I would say that about probably wraps it up for...
I don't know where we're going from there. That's
I don't know if we can really top the Alexa fart TikTok.
That's right.
It has... How many views does that have?
On Facebook here? It's only got 39 shares. 15 comments?
Yeah, that's just it on... That's just it on Facebook. I think it's got a ton on... Actually,
this
on
is a, this
TikTok.
Is a Lobie account. Shout out Lobies.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. This was super fun.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been so fun. And yeah, you are truly welcome back anytime. That was not
dude,
a joke,
honestly,
so.
Anytime you guys want me to come on in third chair for you, I'm more than welcome.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That rocks.
Hell yes. Absolutely.
Hell fucking yes.
Hell yes, motherfucker.
Hell fucking yes.
Hell yes.
Before we totally finish up, I'm trying to remember to do this at the end of all these episodes. Tim, do you have any music to recommend to people? Is there any shit that you're currently fucking with?
Man, I don't know. I'm kind of in like a weird rut right now, so I've been falling back on like my old comforts.
Yeah.
A lot of old Motown, a lot of soul.
Damn. That's
I listened to a bunch of Sam Cooke tonight while I was chilling. You know. That kind of thing.
Love that.
Yeah, man. It's been chill.
That rocks.
Yeah. What have you guys been listening to?
I've been listening to a lot of shoegaze. I think I've been getting into shoegaze music.
Like My Bloody Valentine and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never really listened to any of that stuff before. And the more that I like looked into what shoegaze was, I was like, I think this is everything that I like about music. And then
Cockatoo Twins shoegaze?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know the Cockatoo Twins? You'd probably like them.
Probably fucking
like
will.
Like a cockatoo, like the bird? Cockatoo Twins, man.
No idea.
Yeah, you'd probably fucking dig them if you like a... It's like a female vocal, kind of like funky shoegaze. It's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you'd probably dig that.
Right in my fucking wheelhouse.
Hell yeah. Robin, what are you listening to, dude?
Honestly, I'm just simping for Carly Cosgrove still. I can't stop putting... I'm still waiting for that. I mean, that record's probably going to take a little while to get in. Yeah. But
actually, I saw that in an email today in the inbox, and I kind of forgot about it, and I checked out it, and then I was like, damn, that was just like in December.
Yeah.
I thought I've waited months for that already. But no.
That and Hunted Gex. So
that's pretty
much where I'm at right now.
I might just be a simple hometown Hunted Gex. But let me tell you something, you little piss boy, you little baby. I don't know how that song goes. I just know that whole part.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't know.
You pretty much had it.
I'm too old to know what music is anymore.
Yeah, I'm too stupid to care. I'm just vibing.
Too old to know what's going on and too stupid to care. Ladies
Hell
and
yeah.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck. I guess I should... Hold on. I don't think I plugged this on the show. I'm kind of slacking. Did I plug that we had a single that came out?
No. Do it.
I don't think so.
Oh, shit. This was like 3 months ago.
That
I'm
was
like
a while ago.
Hardcore slacking.
It's a demo.
Yeah. I mean, it's a demo. Yeah. But we put a demo up on Bandcamp.
Hell yes.
Bandcamp.com/... Is there anything after the slashes? I don't have it pulled up. Bandcamp.com/thelastsafeplace.
Isn't it thelastsafeplace.bandcamp.com?
I don't fucking know.
You're
Whatever
such
it
a
is.
Fucking
That's,
fool.
That sounds probably right, yeah.
You gotta know this shit.
Nah, well, you can try to know it. Nobody really cares.
With the wonder of the internet, I can find out.
It is. I know that it's
thelastsafeplace.bandcamp.com. The song is called Glass House. The album art's pretty cute. Designed it myself. Legally using royalty free images.
Is that true?
I just googled emojis. So
yeah, that's definitely emojis.
I could probably plug, I guess Lipstick Fiction's still on Bandcamp if anybody wants to listen to that stuff. You can just, you know, Google Lipstick Fiction, you'll find it.
Does Wolverine Patrol have any socials or anything?
Yeah, we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter. So
hell yeah.
You can find us there. And we're all, you can find us anywhere podcasts can be found, pretty much.
All right, well, that probably about fucking does it then. I'm going to, I think, go to bed now. That's the thing I love to do.
Hell yeah.
Well, good night, brother.
Good night.
Good Peace night, out, everybody. Homies. Peace and, out. Thank you for listening and hanging out. And if you want to write into the show, you can do that. YBIGpodcast@gmail.com. So.
Follow us on Twitter at YBIGpodcast.
Thank you. That's true. That's accurate.
Yeah, and if you want to be on the show, remember... all you gotta do is ask.
That
nicely.
Is true.
Hey guys, can I be on the show?
We'll think about it.
Alright, sweet.
Sweet. We'll talk about it. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey there guys, Jacob here. Again, just kind of saying what's up. Thank you so much for making it to the end of the episode here. We do appreciate that. How'd you feel? How'd you like it? I guess you can't talk back. Sort of a, I guess a podcast is sort of a one-way thing. So, actually, hey, you know what? You can talk back. You can actually write into the show. You can shoot us a little email. Shoot us an email over at ybigpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at ybigpodcast. We're always, you know, we're posting stuff over there, so it's a good time. But guys, most importantly, I need you to check out our new friend Tim over at Wolverine Patrol. I can't recommend this one highly enough, to be honest with you. Great group of people over there. They're doing a lot of good stuff. Highly recommend giving them a follow. You can find them on Twitter at Wolverine Patrol, facebook.com/Wolverine Patrol, or you can pretty much just find them anywhere that you can get a decent podcast nowadays. You can find their show over there. So highly recommend you do that. Appreciate you taking them with us. Music for your band's garbage is courtesy of The Last Safe Place and the incomparable Jake Bowell.